Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
You said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know, we can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
Happy to be with you on this Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. The boys are back in town. McClure is back. Yours truly, David Tewksbury, riding in the shotgun seat for you here today on this Tuesday installment of the show, as we're going to jettison out to Watertown coming up towards the bottom of the hour. Brent Nathaniel, voice of the Legion A tournament, or one of the voices anyway, friend of the program, certainly. He'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. Talk some Legion baseball as that gets underway here today. Want to say first game rolls your way right now, if memory serves correctly, right at 10 a.m., as it's a couple of Rapid City squads doing battle at, I think, right around now, first pitch. I'll have to double-check on that to be quite precise, but you've got Rapid City post 320 against 22 here today in the 1-8 pairing. 4v5 is the Brandon Valley program. They, of course, ousted the Aberdeen Smitties this last week. They're taking on Renner post 307. That's the 4v5 pairing. And then in the evening session, 7v2, you've got Harrisburg post 45 against Yankton post 12. And then in the 3v6 pairing, you've got the host squad of Watertown. They're the 3 seed taking on the 6 seed of Pier post 8. David Tewksbury along for the ride with the Cobra. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good to be back. How are you doing?
Doing well. You did not blow any sort of surprises, did you?
I did not. And I actually told my buddy, I was like, I know you don't listen to the show, but I did spill the beans about you proposing to your girlfriend, now fiance, on the show. And he laughed. He thought it was pretty funny, because he knew. He's like, yeah, she's not listening, man. I think you're all right. Like, don't worry about it.
Well, you know what? I totally teed you up for that one, so apologies.
but like, in the moment, I'm like, oh, no. What if she's scrolling through Facebook and sees the episode and that comes up?
The algorithm.
You never know. The algorithm. It pops up from time to time. You just don't know. But yeah, we got a good laugh out of it because I showed him the clip.
Sure.
And he's like, dude, you just shrunk in your seat. Like, oh, no. It's not. He was like, it's not that big of a deal. But that was awesome. That was reaction.
Yeah, I felt really bad about that. I didn't mean to kind of put you on the spot there.
I wasn't even thinking. I'm like, yeah, I'm going home, an engagement party. Everything's going to be fun and grand and dandy. And, yeah, I was actually hanging out with them throughout the day on Friday before.
Mm-hmm.
She was clueless.
Really?
It was awesome. So it was a great surprise and really fun celebrating those two. Saw my favorite band in concert, or band from Australia, on Sunday. That was like the best concert I've ever been to. Have you ever been to a concert like that where you go to your favorite band?
Oh, yeah.
You know every song?
Oh, yeah.
That was me on Sunday.
Sure.
I was having a ball.
Are you a big air guitar guy? Are you drumming? Are you doing some air
drums? I'm like a big, like, you rock, like,
sure,
one of these guys.
Sure.
Waving the hands. I had a ball at that concert there. It was on Sunday night, weirdly enough, and the crowd was still pretty good. I think they only played for about 90 minutes,
mm-hmm,
which I thought was a little bit fast compared to, you know, some other concerts I've been to where the main act will be on there for 2 hours or something like that.
Sure. But
yeah, it was a good weekend, man. It was a lot of fun. Spent some time in Philly. I know I'm from that area, but I haven't really seen much. Like, I haven't really gone out and like gone to different places and walked around. Like, outside of going to like a Phillies game or like an Eagles game, I haven't really toured the town that much. So it was kind of cool doing that for the first time and seeing kind of the nightlife, if you will, and things of that.
I mean, I've been in Aberdeen not quite a decade. I've been to Richmond Lake like twice. Make that make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right over there. Actually, technically, it'd be right over there.
Yeah.
But, like, I've been there twice in almost a decade. And there's some places in Aberdeen I've still never hit. And I've been here almost a decade. So, yeah, it's kind of weird how we live in certain places and people are always like, oh, you've checked out so-and-so. No, I haven't. What do you mean you haven't? Well, just never got around to it.
That was me. Like, hey, have you ever gone? Like, when I was living in that area, my family wasn't like, hey, we got to get cheesesteaks in Philly.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like in downtown Philly, you got to get this cheesesteak. It just wasn't what we did. So I was able to do that for the first time, and I took advantage of having a couple Philly cheesesteaks. It's next level.
I was going to say, Philly cheesesteaks in Philly, it's got to be pretty good. I would imagine it's pretty good. And got to put that on my bucket list at some point in time. I love a good Philly cheesesteak. Absolutely. All right, the Cobra is back. Go ahead and toss this thing skyward for the jump right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And if you're thinking to yourself, why are these guys talking about cheesesteaks and this, that, and the third? Hi, it's July 29th, okay? Need I say more?
Hey, we got football this week.
We sure do. Absolutely. Looking forward to it on Thursday. And I did see the Chargers are going to wear their new alternate jerseys. I think it's the white tops and the yellow pants. Is it really gold? It's not gold.
It's not gold.
They say, oh, look at the color. It's gold. They're gold pants. And I'm, to be honest with you, I'm guilty of this too sometimes. Because for the Northern State women's basketball team, they've got their yellow jerseys. I call them like the goldenrod look. It's not goldenrod. I got to get that right coming up this sports season. It's, you know, the golden tops and golden shorts. No, it's yellow tops and yellow shorts. So that's what the Chargers are busting out this Thursday.
Yeah, it's like a light yellow. I always thought that too. So I guess good for them breaking out the alternate jerseys this early in the season, in the preseason.
Why not?
Why not, right?
Well, you don't need to keep people in suspense. Like, they got the new rivalry jerseys this year in the NFL. There's a bunch of teams with those rivalry jerseys. The Seahawks are like, August 28th, here's the reveal. I'm like, why? Just stop. We're at the end of July. You don't need to build more suspense. Just release the darn thing. I'm tired of it. But, you know, that's what they do. And people will certainly buy it and certainly be waiting with bated breath. Hey, speaking of football, I have a trivia question for you. And this guy got taken care of yesterday. But which quarterback led the NFC in touchdown passes last year, 2024? Any guesses?
Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts. It's a good guess, but incorrect. I'll give you one more guess.
I feel like Baker Mayfield had a good year.
Baker Mayfield is the correct answer. Yeah.
Is he really?
It is.
That was a complete guess.
Yes. Baker Mayfield threw 41 touchdown
passes. 41 touchdowns?
I heard the same thing on the radio yesterday. They're like, yeah, the NFC's leading touchdown passer last year. I was like, Baker Mayfield, what? Thought he probably had like upper 20s, low 30s, something like that. No. He threw 41 touchdown passes last year. He led the NFC.
That's incredible. But you got to look at the weapons he's had around him.
Yeah.
Chris Godwin. I mean, they were hurt last year.
They were very hurt.
Like, Mike Evans missed a couple of games. Chris Godwin, he tore his ACL in the season. They both got hurt in the Ravens game on that Monday Night Football, both Evans and Godwin.
Wasn't there a dislocated ankle in there, too? Was that Godwin?
Or? Yeah, I think that was Godwin.
Yeah.
He got hurt, like, the last play of the game, and everybody's like, why is he even out
there?
That's
right.
But that's incredible. And I'll tell you what, I was actually talking to my dad about this over the weekend. It's amazing. He saved his career that Thursday night against the Raiders when Sean McVay gave him a chance. We might not see this guy in the league if that doesn't happen, because he stunk up the joint in Carolina after dealing with some injuries with Cleveland. And now that's a dark horse team. People are picking. I don't think it's going to happen, but a dark horse NFC team that people are maybe picking to beat the Eagles.
Should they win the South this year, this would be their third consecutive NFC South crown. But Yesterday, they reworked his contract, got him a cool $30 million guaranteed. But, you know, I did not have that on my bingo card as Baker Mayfield throwing 41 touchdown passes last year. Maybe I was just asleep at the wheel all of 2024, but that was a very under-the-radar 41 touchdown passes.
I thought he was good, 41 touchdowns. It's kind of difficult to think about the quarterbacks in the NFC last year. It's like Hurts. I know Dak Prescott missed all kinds of time, so he was kind of by default in my brain why I picked him.
Yeah, totally fair. Speaking of the quarterback position, shout out to Jack Strand of course, MSU Moorhead. He is one of only 10 NCAA Division II players named to the East-West Shrine Bowl 1000 watch list. It's an all-star event scheduled for January the 27th in Frisco, Texas. Of course, he's coming to the Hub City, as Moorhead is, later on this year. I want to say it's the tail end of October. I think you're going to have to double-check me on that one. I think it's the final home game of that three-game homestand, if you will, of Northern State football. You'll have to double-check and fact-check me there. But, of course, Jack Strand led the NSIC in passing yards this last year with 3,421, 32 touchdown passes to 13 interceptions, threw 564 times last year. That's 157 more pass attempts than the number two guy there from Mankato. 61% completion percentage, and the Wolves are going to have their hands full, certainly, with him. I tell you what, on paper, that is going to be a really fun matchup. A great quarterback against a really good defense.
Yep.
Dare I say great defense. And typically, those offense versus great defense matchups, typically best defense gets the advantage there. But we'll have to wait and see. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, it's Saturday, October 25th.
Okay.
Is that game. It's going to be a night game at the bank, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, bright lights, one of the best quarterbacks in all of Division II coming into town. I mean, that's going to be a fun matchup there late in the season. And you mentioned Strand with the amount of attempts. It's amazing how this guy, if we ever had the chance to talk to him, we'd have to ask him, like, what's his preparation for his arm during the week? Does he throw passes during the week leading up to games? Because the guy, I mean, the stats are just insane with how many attempts he throws throughout the year. You're probably like, hey, coach, I'm not going to throw the ball in practice this week. We're going to throw the ball 70 times. So can I ice up my arm for a couple days?
Yeah, I'm going to take a couple throws off. I'm good here. Now, to be fair, they're not all 60-yard-long vertical deep shots he's throwing. But 70 throws is 70 throws. It's a lot. It's a lot for sure. And he's had some games in his career, I should say, where he's thrown 60-plus. And I think he's even hit a 70, I think, out there, if memory serves correctly. Now, I've been kind of making the joke, ha, 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 for years about my Marquette Golden Eagle football team and how they're undefeated since 1960 in football. Now, Marquette's actually busting out those shirts.
Awesome.
They just announced it this morning, and I said, I actually might have to buy one of these. Marquette football, undefeated since 1960, and in parentheses it says, and staying that way, which kind of makes me a little bit bummed because I feel like my alma mater doesn't have a football team. That's such a bummer. And I'm a basketball fan, too. Don't get me wrong. They're a basketball-heavy school. But not having a football team to root for your alma mater, that's kind of tough.
Yeah, one of my best friends from high school, and we're still good friends today, that was always his big thing because we would always give him all kinds of crap because he'd root for Syracuse and he'd root for Notre Dame. And we're like, that makes absolutely zero sense, dude. What are you talking about? And he went to a school that didn't have football. So he's like, hey, man, I got to pick a couple teams that I like. So he picked those two teams, and his brother went to grad school at Notre Dame, and he's from New York. So he was like, I'm like, I don't know how that all works, but, you know, that's why we give him all kinds of we talk all about, like, how is that even possible, man? So, yeah, I get that. I feel like if I didn't go to Penn State, it would be a tough – I don't know who I'd root for.
Yeah.
Be tough.
I mean, I'm going for Ohio State just because my dad has a lot of family from that area. A lot of our family went to Ohio State on my dad's side of things, so I root for them. But if they lose, it's not like the end of the world for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that personal connection. So I guess I kind of root for Ohio State. Illinois is another team that I root for. My brother went there. My parents went there.
Were you a big Juice Williams fan?
Oh, Juice Williams. Isaiah Williams. Yeah, Juice. Absolutely.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Man, he was a stud. He completely just disappeared. He was one of those incredible quarterbacks in college that you just never heard from ever again after graduation.
He really was. He was awesome, though.
That's a great callback. Isaiah Williams, a.k.a. the Juice. Good stuff for sure. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some SDGA Sanford International Series golf. Also of note, the Minnesota Twins, they walked things off last night against the Bo Sox. And then towards the bottom of the hour, a conversation with Brent Nathaniel, friend of the program, that's coming up here in about 15 minutes. We're tubbing it up on a Tuesday installment of the show. Is it just me, or does it feel like Wednesday today?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe because I wasn't here yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just something about Tuesday. It has, like, no feel to it. Monday definitely has a feel.
Oh, yes.
Thursday and Friday, you're on that back half of the work week. Downhill slide. Feels good.
Yeah, you're riding high Thursday and Friday, for
no,
sure.
No question about it. And then by the time Tuesday hits, you're like, is it Wednesday yet?
Yes.
I don't know. Every Tuesday feels like a Wednesday to me. Kind of strange. Thanks for attending my TED Talk. Maybe you two should talk to somebody. Maybe you got some problems. All right. The SDGA Sanford International Series. Yeah, the series championship there yesterday down south at the country club in Sioux Falls. How cool of a country club is that? What do you guys go by the name of? Oh, we go by the country club. That's just who we are down here. So that's what they that's where they played at there yesterday. And a couple of shout-outs to some Watertown golfers. Watertown's Gabby Olson would be the medalist on the girls' leaderboard. Ty Leonard's of Watertown on the guys' side of things. But I don't know, man. Gabby Olson just pieced together a really, really good summer of golf. And to be honest, all these golfers did, but Olson just a notch above the rest. Not only is she the medalist here, you just can't beat a 7-under par on the back nine that she had a couple weeks ago. I'm still on that. I mean, that was a course record, if memory serves correctly, for the SDGA mm-hmm. Sanford International Series. So, I mean, anytime you put together something like that, it's like, oh, well, there's only one way to go is down. But she has had a really, really good summer, and congratulations to her.
Yeah, I think that maybe 7-under just was able to just boost her confidence moving forward. Yeah. I mean, she was playing well before that anyway, and seeing her here at the leaderboard once again, I just think it's going to help her so much moving forward into this next year. I think we're going to see her name maybe from being a couple, like, fourth, fifth, where she was a little bit last year, third, to maybe a couple first with how she's playing. I mean, you're playing against some of the best golfers in the state here. On a week-in, week-out basis, playing competitive-level golf, and you're putting up scores like this. It's pretty incredible what she's been able to do, and I just think next year she's going to be ready to roll.
And, of course, she's not only ready to go roll for next year, but she's a 27. So this coming year will be her junior year,
okay,
if I'm reading that correctly. So she's got a lot of room for growth, and she has been outstanding to this point. So, I mean, we were, for the last couple of years, it was like, okay, Allison Meyerink and Olivia Braun, those two is going to be kind of top of the charts there in double A. Who's going to win the state championship? And then Meyerink did it. And then this last year it was Braun. We're kind of like, okay, she's ready to take that next step. She did. And now Gabby Olson of Watertown, she's going to be meeting Olivia Braun, I would guess, next year with some pretty stiff competition there in double A. And for Braun, you know, she had her time at the top of the mountain, and I think she's still there, don't get me wrong. It's not like she just completely fell off the map, but mm-hmm. the last couple of events for her, she's certainly within striking distance, but not the medalist. So maybe this is kind of a, hey, I'm not just here to show up, and obviously she's there to compete and get better and everything else like that, but mm-hmm. people are coming for her. You know, she's not going to sneak up on anybody.
No.
People are coming for her crown now. So you had a very solid outing there from J.C. Pugh, Braun there alike tied for sixth place, but I mean, I've been saying it for months now and for years now, for that matter, is high school girls golf in the state of Aberdeen is in a really, really good spot. Claire Crawford on the A side of things for Aberdeen Roncalli. She's very solid, but I mean, Gabby Olson is, she certainly has, I think, Olivia Braun's attention going forward.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I just think we've talked about this before, but maybe you're trying some different things mm-hmm. and a shot doesn't go your way or, you know, whatever it may be, you're being a little bit more aggressive than you would in a state tournament setting or a meet, you know, a high school meet. You're just trying different things. But I'll tell you, Gabby Olson, whatever she's doing has been really impressive. And I think Braun, like you said, you know, six over, and we've seen a couple times where she has been, you know, first where we're usually seeing her. I mean, let's be real. She's always been in first, and now she's like in fifth, and we got, you know, we're like, oh, whoa, you know, what's the here? What's going on here?
That's what I was going to say. Like, isn't that crazy, the standard of you being in first place? If you're not in first, it's just like, oh, what's wrong with Olivia Braun? And maybe there is something. Maybe she's just kind of tired. You've been playing golf basically for a year straight. And maybe you're a little bit worn out. Maybe you've got a little, a chink in your shoulder or something like that. Maybe your wrist hurts. I don't know. I mean, I'm speculating. But to your point, maybe she's just trying out new stuff. But that's the standard when you are who you are. And you've put together an incredible last couple of years of golf there. So really, really good stuff on the AA side of things. But Gabby Olson of Watertown, she won on the fourth hole of the playoff there over Katie Bettsworth of Dakota Dunes and Rylan Horning. Now, Horning, of course, that Class A champion out west there in Rapid City. So, again, wall to wall, coast to coast, east to west here in the state of South Dakota. High school girls golf in a very, very good spot. Ty Leonards of Watertown, you're a medalist there for the boys. He was 2 under, a 70 for him. Carter Langley of Elk Point, a 1 under, 71. He finished in second, while Matt DeBeer of Dakota Dunes finished there in third. Regionally, you had Gavin Colson of Sully Buttes there, Oneida. 2 over par, 74 for him. He finished in 9th place. Jonathan DeBoer of Twin Brooks plays his high school ball over there at Millbank, a 3 over. He finished in 12th. And Harper Schnabel of Aberdeen finished in 11th, finished in 26th with an 11 over par 83. So the season is over. The way I read it anyway, I mean, this is the championship. I haven't seen anything more from the Sanford International Series. I think there's one more junior tour event coming up next week, if memory serves correctly. But by and large, a very, very solid and successful summer for a lot of these golfers.
Yeah, I think you can just benefit so much from playing these different courses. They're tough, and maybe they're playing tough as well throughout the summer. I mean, we've been dealing with a lot of rain, a lot of wind throughout the summer, and it's not just like, hey, it's sunny at 75 and we're out here playing. I mean, you're dealing with different conditions every single one of these. I mean, it's scorching hot some days during the summer, and sometimes the last thing you feel like doing is walking 18, and these kids are really putting on a great show. So, I mean, they're playing really well. I think everybody's really benefiting. I mean, you look at just the girls' leaderboard, you got the top 10, 79 and fewer. That's pretty good.
Nope.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, and in the top 10, you've only got a differential of about 8 strokes between Olson and Aaron Hurd there of Sioux Falls. So a 1 under to 7 over par. That's not that big of a chasm of a gap there. So very, very high competitive golf, and a big shout out to all the girls and boys out there, the fellers and the ladies doing a nice job there on the links here this summer. Coming up next on the show, we'll go from the links to the diamond. Brent Nathaniel, friend of the program, he'll be joining us next as we're going to talk some Legion baseball, the Class A tournament officially underway there from the town that is Water. Brent, he'll join us next. Rocking and rolling for this Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. He's the Cobra. I'm David Tewksbury, and joined on the phone line by a friend of the program, and a friend in need is a friend indeed, and you know, a friend in all shapes and means of that word. Brent Nathaniel, he joins us on the phone line. Mr. Nathaniel, Brent, how are you, sir?
Hold on, let me do an impression with that intro. Oh. You got a friend in me. That's as far as I'll go.
That's good. I was going to say, you know, brothers don't shake hands. Brothers got a hug.
Brothers got a hug.
Yeah, well, there's the virtual hug right there for you. And we were talking off the air as you're going to be calling some play-by-play of the Watertown post-17 squad and the Class A state tournament there for the Legion side of things. And I said, how's the weather out there? And you said, let's share that story on the air. So I'll leave you the floor for that one.
Okay. Well, yesterday, thankfully, we did not get the severe weather. We got 0.5 of an inch. That's what I got at my backyard. It was just a little bit of rain, a little bit of thunder. That was about it. Sunday, on the other hand, as it's been well documented, we had an EF2 tornado just west of town. It was an eventful day. My wife and I are sitting here watching one of our favorite travel programs on YouTube, and her phone went off. My phone did not go off because I don't have the settings set up right, but her phone goes off, and we both go, huh, okay, that's interesting. So I pop up the radar, and I'm like, oh. And then I look at the warning and go, okay, time to get the shoes on, get the cat in the carrier, and we are off to the basement. They ran the sirens for 45 minutes in Watertown. Thankfully, the tornado just was roped out just west of Watertown. We did not get a tornado here in Watertown. A farmhouse up by Henry actually got hit, but thankfully nobody was injured in that. But my wife and I stayed in the basement for probably 90 minutes because, in addition to the tornado, we got multiple rounds of hail. And I had to make a call to my insurance people yesterday, and I had to climb up on my roof and kind of patch a little, you know, hail hole and stuff like that and all that fun stuff. But yeah, you haven't lived until you're stuck in a basement with tornado sirens blaring for 45 minutes. It was, I hope to never do that again.
Yeah, that sounds less
than
ideal.
Well, they say, you know, summers in South Dakota are great, right? I mean, you know, you got a tornado, some hail and things of that. That's a bit scary. I mean, I was driving home from the airport there in Minnesota yesterday, and I was stuck in that 77-mile-an-hour wind gust in Summit. So, I mean, it's some crazy weather out here for sure.
I saw down in southeast South Dakota, too, got nailed last night with that derecho they thought was going to be up here. But after Sunday night, I am very, very happy that to just be boring, if you will.
Well, I was going to say you love summers because you are a severe weather guy. This is kind of, I think it's fair to say, it's a passion of yours.
Yeah, I'm actually I volunteer for the National Weather Service office in Aberdeen. I am Watertown's co-op observer. So what that means is I'm the backup for the precipitation in the summer. So if the airport fails, then the rainfall amount is actually from my backyard. And anytime you see the snowfall report from Watertown in the winter, that's actually from my backyard. So the snowfall reports from Watertown are actually in my backyard.
Okay. So
they gave me a giant stick and it has like 40 inches of snow. And I'm like, I never want to see that 40 inches of snow because that would, I don't think my snowblower could handle that. But yeah, that's like, and of course, when I worked up there at Hub City Radio, I was the severe weather guy for 7-8 years and all that fun stuff. Covered the Bowdell tornado when that happened up there, and covered multiple tornadoes where I'm looking outside going, okay, so this thing comes to Aberdeen. Where am I hiding at the radio station? I don't know.
Underneath the KSDN board or something like that. But we've officially outed you as the severe weather contact for all of the snowfall there, so you can drop in the more you know sounder. Appreciate that. All right, let's talk a little sports here as the Class A state tournament gets underway in Watertown here today. Brent Nathaniel on Fox Sports Aberdeen. In the first matchup going on right now, you've got a couple of Rapid City squads. And, you know, Matt and I were actually talking about this the other day, I think on and even off the air to a certain degree. Watertown has had a successful season this year. But let's just say they went, I don't know, 5-19. But hey, we're hosting the Legion tournament, so we get an auto bid. Are there sort of parameters, like you have to win X amount of games to host a state tournament? How does that even work out?
Nope, just put in the bid. That's all it is. And this is something Ryan Neal is the coach of Watertown Post 17. He's the president and the operations guy for the Watertown Baseball Association. Ryan is a baseball guy. He's also a golf guy. He also coaches high school golf as well. He actually won, him and his daughter actually won the SGA, it was an amateur tournament a week and a half ago up in Aberdeen. But his passion is baseball. He grew up in the Watertown system. He is Watertown's winningest coach. He's coached Watertown twice. The second time he started in 2019, and that's when he came to me with the idea, hey, let's get these on the radio. That has progressed into what we are now doing on YouTube with Post 17 TV. We have all of our games this weekend from the tournament on Post 17 TV on YouTube. I'm actually watching it right now. The guy that made all the video ads for the tournament, he's fantastic. You should really look him up one of these days. But top of the third, 0-0, and you lead back into Rapid City 22. You know, they're probably the favorite this year just because they've won, you know, 44 out of the 100 Legion baseball tournaments we've had here in South Dakota. The only team they have lost to is the two seed Yankton. Watertown saw Rapid 22 about a month and a half ago, almost beat them in game one, and then kind of fell apart in that game two of the doubleheader. But this tournament, I don't know if you've had a chance to look up and down this bracket, but I personally think, you know, Rapid 22 is probably the leader, but this might be one of the widest open state tournaments we have.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Brent. I mean, you just look at some of the top teams. You know, you mentioned Post 22, Yankton's good. Watertown really had a good year. I saw them a couple times when they came here to the Smitties, and a gentleman that really had a nice year on the hill. How about this Caden Rylance, 137 strikeouts throughout the, I mean, that's a pretty big-time season from him, and just the team in general, 20 wins. I mean, that's an impressive feat. You know, the summer, we talk about it all the time on this show, just the dog days of the summer. It's a long baseball season. You got to bring your A game every day if you want to be competitive, and they certainly did that this year.
You know, Watertown, they're 37-25 on the season, 26-13 Legion this year, because this is the first year in 7 or 8 years Watertown actually played the high school season. They were booted out in the first round by, I think it was Harrisburg in that Class A Legion high school tournament back in May. But Watertown, to begin the year, they struggled. There was a lot of pressure on this team because there are 8 seniors. 7 of them are going to go play college baseball, including Caden Rylance, who's going to go pitch for SDSU next year. I'll talk more about Cato here in a minute, but I mean, Watertown, there was so much pressure on the boys, and you could just see it to perform. And when they played Pierre in the high school regional, Caden had 19 strikeouts, and that is a Watertown record. He struck out 19 batters That's against insane. Pierre. Which is just, the game was at Pier because Watertown was a low seed in that tournament, so I didn't go and do the game, but I texted Coach afterwards and was like, wow, this is insane. Cato has set 2 records this year. That was the one where he had 19 strikeouts in one game. The second one is he now has the overall strikeout record for Watertown. He broke that a couple of days ago. He has 139 strikeouts on the year. So, I mean, SDSU is definitely getting a good one here this year. But once we got into the Legion season, Watertown really settled into Watertown Arrows baseball. That's really when we would get done with the game. Coach would come up, and I would – that's the question I would ask him is, hey – you won here, you split here, you really played Watertown baseball. And you can really see it in the success that Watertown has had this year. And there is that, I think, a little bit pressure. You're going to see it tonight against Pierre in the night game. But Watertown, a very good year. I mean, Hayden Reese is going to go on to play at Mount Marty for baseball. Mitch Olson is going to play baseball for USF. Trayton Hemrick's going to play baseball for Mount Marty. Talon Juergens is going to go to DSU and play baseball. Cato, like I mentioned, SDSU. Nash Berg is going to go play baseball at DSU. Nathan Briggs is going to go play baseball at Wayne State. And the only senior who's not going to go play baseball is Max Dilla. And the only reason he's not playing baseball is he's going to SDSU Honors College for applied mathematics. He is very, very smart. So there are, you could say Watertown, Rapid, like I mentioned, Rapid 22 is probably the favorite. But Watertown, I think, could get their first, you know, South Dakota Legion championship, and it's almost been 100 years. The last time Watertown won a Legion championship was 1931. Oof. And the last time the state tournament was here in Watertown at Watertown Stadium was 24 years ago, I believe it was. But, I mean, Watertown Stadium, they've done so much work to it. It's really – it's a historic stadium. It's been around over 80 years now. They closed out the chapter on the stadium for football. They built a brand new, beautiful football stadium this year. right over by the high school. We're going to continue to play baseball at Watertown Stadium for the next few years, but I do know that they are hoping to build a new stadium here in Watertown sometime within the next 5 years. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Watertown Stadium is a beautiful place to play, and I know Watertown Post 17, they're very excited to be hosting the tournament this year.
Would be a great year, certainly, to hoist that crown. Brent Nathaniel joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and Cobra and I were talking about that last fall, was that they've shut the doors on that place now for football season. How cool was that to actually watch a football game on a baseball field? A couple old school guys like Cobra and I, we like to see those old school stadiums that are host. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was the South Dakota Oakland Coliseum.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah, that's what I used to say on the air when I did the last when Central went out there for football. I did that last regular season game. For that, obviously, they played in the playoffs. They won the whole thing, actually, Watertown football. But yeah, that was a cool moment for me. That was like the final regular season game, Watertown versus Central. I was a part of that.
You know, I did. I don't remember how many years I was the voice of the Arrows for football, basketball, volleyball, and that was my home stadium. And I joked that actually, the baseball press box is much nicer than the football press box. I love doing baseball because it was a great view. They built a new press box in 2020. It was actually the old baseball press box was actually on top of Watertown Stadium, where we had to climb up some stairs, and it had been there forever. And there was parts of that where I'm a big guy, you guys know I'm a big guy. And there's some parts of that, that were in that old press box where I knew I shouldn't step because you could kind of see through. But thankfully, in 2020, they built a new press box right below it, had better angles and stuff like that. But over on the other side, the football press box, I always referred to it as my concrete broom closet. I was actually partial to be doing games away than doing games at home just because I didn't like the concrete press box. I was much happier to do baseball than I was football in that stadium. But I was out there at the stadium on Sunday, and Ryan has gone all out. There is bunting, American flags all over the place. They cleaned up. They had a sod cutter out there. They're putting down new sod. I'm excited to go out here in about 3 hours. I'm going to go out and do the night session of games, and it's a beautiful place to play baseball now.
Yeah, just watching the video, it really does look great. And maybe one or two more here with Brent Nathaniel on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Brent, what's your two cents on teams that get a chance to host a tournament like this? Now, again, Watertown is a very, very successful team. They've had a successful year. But let's just say you have a team that did not play very, very well, and they don't have to get into the state tournament by playing a regional. That doesn't seem fair to me, if we're being honest. At least in my opinion, that doesn't make any sense, how you can have a team that can go 1-34, but hey, we're hosting, so we don't have to play a regional game. Does that make sense to you, or is that just me being that's just Big City Tukes talking like Big City Tukes again? I don't know.
No, you very much have a point in that. Is yeah, I would we like to see, you know, a play-in game? Probably. That would be awesome. I do remember a time where the Class B winner actually was the representative into the A tournaments for Legion Baseball, which I thought was kind of a cool format. Didn't last very long. But, I think I would like to see maybe that play-in. But, you know, this year with Watertown hosting and being in, I'll take it.
Yeah, not
you know,
this year.
I think it really, you know, like I mentioned, there was that pressure to perform because we had so many seniors on this Watertown team. But, you know, if you get one of those teams, because I think it happened, I know it happened a few years ago, one of those teams really, it was like, okay, you had like a 2-win record, but I think it might take a pressure off if you're one of those teams that's kind of struggling and you really just kind of soak in the experience. Hey, we're here, we're playing baseball. You know, It's let's just enjoy the moment. And hey, look at that. 320 is up on 22 already. The 8 seed leading the 1 seed. Top of 3. Interesting.
I think they just had a pitching change there, too. So that would be a bit of an upset. We'll keep our eyes on that. Cobra, you got any more before we let him go?
Well, we were talking to Ron Krause a couple weeks ago, and he mentioned they had like a 100 years mm-hmm. 100 years of Legion baseball. They hosted a tournament. Just kind of your thoughts, 100 years of Legion baseball. I mean, that's a lot of years. And, baseball, I think, right now in South Dakota in a pretty good spot. The high school seasons, more teams are, getting involved with that. I think high school baseball, it's pretty good right now in South Dakota.
Yeah, I think you can really see the growth in the sports of baseball in South Dakota. I started doing baseball games when I was at KMSD. We, we followed Milbank over there, and it was a small B program, but the tradition and the history of Legion baseball coming out of Milbank, they were very proud of their program, and they built that beautiful new field there up in Milbank, and just seeing it personally here in Watertown, the way Watertown baseball has grown. I started doing baseball here in Watertown for the Baseball Association in 2019. And just to see how the program has grown, they've added travel programs. They are having record number of kids playing baseball, playing youth baseball now here in Watertown. I've seen the growth up in Aberdeen. Nathan Ganelli, he's a Watertown graduate. I called Nathan's number quite a bit in 2019. He was one of the leaders for that Watertown squad, now leading the Smitty squad. And, some of the things he's done with that Smitty squad up in Aberdeen as well. I think baseball's in a very good place here in South Dakota. It will be interesting to see what they decide over the next few years with the Activities Association, if they want to, bring that into the fold, or if they kind of want to leave things, the way they are now. I know they don't want to, hurt the Legion season right now. But, I think it's nowhere but up for baseball here in South Dakota.
It definitely feels like it's kind of having a renaissance, if that's the right word to describe it, for sure. And have a great call out there tonight via Watertown TV, and appreciate you taking some time on game day here for us, Brent, and we'll talk to you later on down the road.
Thank you very much, sirs. It was good to talk to you, as always.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure, for sure. Friend of the program, Brent Nathaniel, right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, doing a great job for them, as always. And I tell you what, I would agree with what you and he both just said there. That feels like baseball's in a really, really good spot, and definitely great to play in a classic venue like that there in Watertown. Come on back and wrap up this Tuesday installment of The Hub after this. Final segment for your Tuesday installment of the show right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Talked about the SDGA Sanford International Series from yesterday. Check out our website for more details. And also of note, Minnesota Twins, they went down the Bo Sox there last night 5-4. If you can believe it, the Twins are only 10 games back of first place, which is a lot. Probably not going to happen. But they're still only 5 games out of the wild card spot, and Boston's ahead of them. So sometimes it only takes a series or two to kind of turn your season around. You take 2 out of 3 against Boston, or maybe even sweep them. You got Cleveland next. They're still, if you can believe it, in the thick of things. They're in the AL.
Yeah, if they can win today against Boston, they could find themselves right back in it. And Detroit, they're not playing really good right now.
No.
Since before the All-Star break, they've really stunk. And you got 3 teams there within 9.5, 10 games. Let's go, Twins.
We're back at it tomorrow right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen.